Worshipping the Lord, that is the greatest act they could have done, huh? To worship the Lord and to love their Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. Amen. 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 So good, so good. Well, I must tell you this one thing. Today is a repeat of last week's sermon. When Pastor Paul Maroney was given a free topic to speak, led by the Spirit, he exactly preached on the same sermon as I'm going to preach today. So today you get a double dose of the Lord's Word concerning the last days. As someone said, take it like a reinforcement. So it's going to be a reinforcement. You know, something is good is given to you and then you reinforce it. So it's a reinforcement to make your faith stronger. Amen? Amen. Let's see how the Lord can bring a new perspective to our reflection today. Let's pray and ask the Lord for His blessing. Father, we thank You so much that You have given us words, O Lord, to settle our soul, to help us be ready for the future. O Lord, we don't have to fear the future. Instead, we can look forward to the future because You live and You have given us words today, Lord, living words, words that will make us and our spirit alive. So we give You thanks today. We give You thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've entitled today's sermon after Pastor Aaron's concluding comment last week. Pastor, when you came to conclude the sermon, something caught my attention and I thought, oh, okay, we can make that our topic for today. So it's going to be go deeper in faith. I change it a little bit. You say dig deeper. So I change it a little bit. Go deeper in faith. Forgot to bring my paper back. So we are going into Mark 13. I'd like to show you some leaves. This morning I took these leaves from my neighbor's tree. My neighbor's tree, the leaves have grown over to my driveway and we are free to pick the leaves as well as the fruits when it comes in summer. And I just plucked the leaves off. Henry's not around, he's in China. He'll be so disappointed with me because I also plucked the fruits off. There's some little fruits here which will actually be real fruits, but I've plucked them off. But these are leaves from the fig tree. Leaves from the fig tree. We look forward to our tree because our neighbor has given us permission to pick every summer. We always look forward to our tree because we know when the leaves come, summer is near. And when summer is near, the figs will also come. And the fruits from my neighbor's tree, very sweet, wormless, very, very lush, very nice. And we always look forward to that. So when I look at Mark 13, Mark 13:28, I saw that Jesus mentioned about the leaves of the fig tree. So if you turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 28, Jesus talked about the leaves of the fig tree. By faith, he said, as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Jesus' faith, when he talked about the fig tree, was based actually on his intellectual knowledge of the fig tree. And the disciples whom he was speaking to obviously know that when they see the leaves of the fig tree, summer was going to come. That was based on his intellectual knowledge. But what Jesus was about to do in the next few verses after verse 28, he was going to make the call which demanded the disciples to go deeper in their faith. Faith that is not based on intellectual knowledge, but faith that was based on revelation knowledge. And for revelation knowledge, we need to dig into our heart for a deeper faith to understand what God was trying to tell us in that chapter, in chapter 13. Jesus revealed the future. A lot of us like to know the future, huh? Jesus is now revealing our future. Jesus revealed the future in two events. The end of the Temple of Jerusalem is the first event, and the second event was the end of the world. There is a lot of overlap between the two events. But Jesus talked about the end of the Temple of Jerusalem. He says, when you see the fig leaf, summer is coming. This is your evidence that something is happening. The end is coming. Now, nobody knows what the future holds. How many of you know what your future holds? I never knew that I was going to be in Australia. Never knew. I didn't know that my future was in Australia. And for so long, 30 years now. Huh? You're a baby still, huh? Only 1 year. You didn't know your future was here, right, Anjali? But your future is here. No one knows what the future holds. That's why we need faith to believe that Jesus is the revealer. KG this morning read something very profound. Jesus is the revealer, and he knows answers to those hard questions that KG just read from Job 38. Jesus reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him, Daniel 2:22. And he will reveal the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's in Luke chapter 8, verse 10. So this morning, let's allow the Lord to go deeper, to build depths of faith. We have depths of faith. You have one faith, and there are many levels of faith. There are depths of faith concerning your future as well as the future of the church. If I put the leaves here, is it distracting? Okay. Is it a reminder that you see leaves on the fig tree, summer is coming? And we are reading Mark 13. If you read his words, you know something is coming, just like summer is coming. How do we go deeper in faith? Number one is to know what's real. Number one is to know what is real. Jesus says in Mark 13, 5 to 6, he says, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. So Jesus in this verse warned us about deception. He says there'll be a lot of imposters that will come. And especially in our world today where we have got so many viral hoaxes, so much deception, so many fake news. It's hard to tell now what is real news because there's so much fake news. We are vulnerable to deception actually quicker. Last time, you know, when we have got newspapers, you only get to know news a little bit later. Maybe 1 day later, 2 days later. But these days, you get it the minute it's posted. Anyone can post anything these days. This lady, Gabby Hanna, she's an American internet personality and she's also a singer-songwriter. In a multi-post rant on TikTok in August 22, she claimed to be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. An imposter of Jesus on TikTok. When they did an analysis of 206 cases, legal cases, they found out that people only detect deception 54% of the time. Out of the many cases, only 54% could perceive that is deceiving news or a deceiving information, which means 46% are being deceived. Almost half. Staggering, huh? High percentage. And in a church, we are often taught to obey authorities. We are often also taught not to be distrustful of other people. And so maybe we are more easily deceived. That does not mean that we do not obey authorities. That just means we got to go deeper in our faith. We need to go deeper in our faith to discern between what is real and what is counterfeit. There's this guy, Sun Moon, you can go on internet to find out about him. He was born in 1920, died 2012. He was believed by the Unification Church to be the Messiah and the second coming of Christ. Had a following of 3 million people. They claim they got a following of 3 million people. Sources are saying that they have actually fewer than 3 million, but they had a large following. And when I look at, I was interested, of course, and when I look at the Wikipedia of people who are self-proclaimed messiahs and false Christs, I'm actually really surprised that people can be so gullible as to believe some of the claims made by these false prophets. That's why the Bible tells us through Jesus' word, it says, don't be easily taken in, don't be deceived. Watch out, don't be deceived. Taken in by powerful people. Don't be deceived by miracles even. And don't be deceived by fake claims and scams. Because these false prophets come and test our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be very careful of fakes. Will you? Be very careful of fakes. Be very careful of counterfeits. Jesus says, watch out, don't be deceived by them. Have you heard the story of this man who went to the zoo and looked for a job? You know, he just wanted a job. He was desperate for a job. So he went to the zoo and looked for a job. And he told the zoo interviewer, I really need this job. And the zoo interviewer said, there's no job available really, but if you really want, I've got a role for you. And that is, I've got a monkey's suit. You just have to put on the monkey's suit and then you go around, you know, swinging from trees to trees. Are you keen? So this guy, desperate for a job, says, why not? So every day he would go in the monkey suit and he would really act like a monkey and will swing from tree to tree, and he was enjoying himself and he was really trying very hard to earn his income. And one day he was swinging so hard, he swung into the lion's den. And then when he saw the lion, he gave a big scream. Ah! And the lion looked at him and says, shh. All fakes, huh? In the zoo. Our Perth zoo is okay, all quite real, you know, but some zoos are fakes. Be careful of fakes. Don't be distracted by the fakes. Instead, we need to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes again, he will not come as a baby in swaddling cloths. He will not come humble, only on a donkey. No. He will come, the Bible tells us in Mark 13, 26. So look very quickly into verse 26. He says, the Son of Man will come in the clouds with great power and glory. This morning, was it Lynn who prayed? Glory. He will come in great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. These are the real words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's what Jesus says. And in Mark 13, when Jesus talked about the future in the two events, one event has already happened. That's why he says the generation will not pass away until they see that event come to pass. And it did happen because in AD 70, the Temple of Jerusalem, which was magnificent, it was a magnificent building built by King Herod, it was razed to the ground by the Romans. Actually, before Jesus was born, the temple was already being built. 20 years before Jesus was born, the temple was already being built. And only 34 years after Jesus died was the temple completed. So if you think about it, the temple was only fully functional for 36 years. It's a very new building, oh? Very, very new building. 36 years, very new building. My neighbor's house, 50 years old. Still going, but 36 years, glorious building, very, very new, but it was totally destroyed by the Romans. This is really a sobering thought, that no matter how massive the stones are, no matter how great buildings are, one day they will come to nothing, because what is real will stand. And what is real is not flesh. What is real is not physical dimensions. What is real is your spiritual dimension. For real, Jesus will come again. For real, this world will end. We don't know when, because our Father is the one who holds the key to the date of the coming. Do not be deceived. Jesus said also, to the date of His coming, because He Himself does not know. Only the Father knows. And the Father will make sure that the gospel is preached to every creature before He allows Jesus to come again. Watch out that nobody deceives you to tell you tomorrow Jesus is coming, or the day after, or next year. All right? Watch out, no one deceives you. That's fake news. Know what is real, and know who is real. Jesus is real. He's coming again. The real news is He's coming back for us. Amen? So you're going to go deeper in your faith is to know what is real and what is not real. Is that okay? Is that okay? So when you see the leaves on the fig tree, Jesus is saying even in the spiritual, things will also happen. But don't be fooled by things. Simply anything, but really follow what the real words of Jesus are saying. Number two, and this is going to be a long second point. Number two is to follow faith, not feelings. Feelings are great. I deal with feelings all the time. I miss my counseling times where I deal with feelings and then you help them go back to healthy feelings. I really miss those times. But it is not to follow feelings. Feelings are great, but not to follow feelings, especially if they are misleading you, but to follow faith. There's a gap between AD 70 to the end of the world. Right? We are living right now in the middle of the gap between AD 70 and when the end of the world will be. And there are a lot of triggers in our world that will activate our emotional brain. Don't follow the lead of our emotions. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him increase the depth of your faith. Huh? Just now, KG read about who can know the depth of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the depth of our faith, and He wants to deepen our faith. Follow Him. Let Him increase the depth of our faith. And here in Mark 13, Jesus told us everything we need to know that will be hurdles in the way. So from AD 70 till now, there will be hurdles in our way, but the best part is this. This is the good news. Every hurdle, the Lord Jesus gives us the ability to overcome. Last week, I was asking somebody, I said, how do you feel after that sermon? And this person said, yeah, it's not to be anxious. All that thing can happen, but it's not to be anxious. Because God tells us the hurdles, and then God tells us how we can overcome each hurdle and how we can grow our faith. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, He's very detailed. That's why I like Him as our coach, as our commander, as our captain. Can you imagine if you are taking instructions from a captain and they are kind of like wishy-washy, like, I'm not sure. Yeah, just whatever, whatever. I think we'll be all so insecure. But here in Mark 13, Jesus was very detailed. He tells us all the hurdles and He tells us how we can overcome each hurdle. And when you activate your faith, when you ask God to go deeper into your faith, to activate your faith, you actually have an arsenal of resources. You have an arsenal of tools. You have an arsenal of help at your disposal. Amen? Amen. For this generation, as well as for the generation after us, until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ again. When catastrophes come, the Bible tells us, do not be alarmed. Mark 13:7. Look at Mark 7. When catastrophes come, do not be alarmed. Do not be fearful and anxious. This guy is from Inside Out. I brought him along. I love to collect all the Inside Out toys, stuffed toys. My grandkids tried to play with them. I said, no, these are mine. This guy's name is fearful. Jesus says, do not be alarmed. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. He says, such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. Don't follow your feelings when you know about these things happening in our world. Instead, you follow Jesus' instruction. And what is his instruction? Do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. Do not be fearful. Do not be anxious. You see, our body has got an automatic alarm system. When it has a sense of danger, what the body will do is it will produce fear or it will produce anxiety, right? And actually, in our generation, we've got a fair share of a lot of high-tension news, isn't it? We've been through COVID. Applaud to the Lord. We have been through COVID. Come on. Yeah, we have gone through a very high tension period of COVID. We've been through wars between Russia, Ukraine, wars in Israel, in the Middle East, earthquakes. I was shocked when I went into the U.S. Geological Survey. They actually recorded within a day, 19th November to the 20th November, they actually recorded 36 earthquakes. Oh. Wow. That's a lot. Can you imagine our body is overloaded with this sort of triggers that can make us feel fearful, alarmed, and afraid? Because if we don't take care of our fear can actually rob us of the quality of life. How many of you know that? It can magnify the danger element and cause us to turn inward or turn indoors. Because fear actually negates faith and makes us feel less of a victor in life. And that's why the Bible tells us, let perfect love cast out fear. And in Mark 13, that's the good news. The perfect love, our perfect lover, the Lord Jesus Christ says, do not be alarmed. Why? Because I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Do not let this guy rob you of your quality of life. Do not let this guy make you feel fearful and panicky and alarmed. Don't, because Bible tells us, Jesus says he will be with us even to the end of the world in Matthew 28:20. When persecution comes, he says, do not worry beforehand. If you read in Mark 13:11, do not worry beforehand. Don't be anxious about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told the disciples, you will be handed over to the local councils. You'll be flogged. You will stand before governors and kings as witnesses. You'll be arrested and you'll be brought to trial. Now, this is not foreign matter. We have Deanna Thomas with us. I believe, Deanna, the Lord brought you here to us to tell us how to pray for the persecuted church. Deanna was in Afghanistan for 3 months, put into prison for 3 months, persecuted in prison because of the gospel of Christ. And And she's now, you know, leading prayers for the persecuted church. God has, Diana, I think some people don't know who you are. You may want to stand. You've got a story to tell. Do not be afraid what to say, because the Lord will give us things to say. Some of us may not be put into prison for preaching the gospel, but how many of you have experienced when you preach the gospel, you get scolded, you get scorned, you get slighted by the people that you preach to? I remember when I was a young Christian, I preached to my mom and grandmother and I got scolded and I was prevented from eating food as well. Persecuted, and I was a youth leader at that time, and a lot of mothers and fathers come to the church to, well, with canes, you know, with canes, and want to punish their children for coming to church. We've gone through, you know, some of us are persecuted for the gospel. Don't follow your feelings if you are persecuted. Follow what Jesus says, because Jesus says, don't worry beforehand. Don't worry beforehand. Maybe you are in a situation even right now, like you're worried what to say, you know, could you have said it better? And don't worry beforehand. You are getting really anxious if you're worrying beforehand. Go deep into your faith. Your faith will increase when you know that the words that you are using does not come from your own intellect and your own cleverness. Ask the Lord. The Lord says, if any one of us lack wisdom, ask of Him. And you'll be surprised what kind of words you can use to talk to people. My brother, younger brother, very shy, very quiet. And one day we went to visit our other brother who was not well. And this other brother is a non-believer. And you know what my younger brother said to him? Can we pray for you? Then the other brother said, huh? What do you say? He says, can we pray for you? And we managed to pray for him 3 times when I was in Singapore. The Holy Spirit Himself will give us words to say. And don't be anxious, don't be fearful, because if you're anxious and fearful all the time, then you'll be full of nervous energy. The Lord wants you to live a very liberated life, a life that is free, free from anxiety, free from fear. Not always fighting fears like, oh, this is fearful, I must fight the fears. Or, this is fearful, oh, I must run away from fear. Oh, I must run away from fear, oh. Or whenever you see fear, you kind of like freeze, like, oh, I'm so scared. Just like him. The Bible tells us, do not fear, do not be anxious. I will give you the words to say. Amen. So Jesus is like giving us a lot of instructions, like when this happens, this is what you do. When this happens, this is what you do. Don't follow your faith, don't follow your feelings, follow your faith. And then he also says about family discord. There will be family discord. He says, stand firm till the end. Endure even if you are hated by everyone in the family. Now here he says in verse 12 and 13. Look at verses 12 and 13. This is scary news, man. This is really scary news, right? Brother will betray brother to death. And a father will betray his child to death. Wow. What is this? What is happening here? Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. What is this? Wow, dismal news. Jesus is giving us a picture of what could possibly happen in the last days. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Family discord is the hardest to stomach because you expect harmony and happiness to come from the family. And yet in the last days, Jesus gave us a very dismal picture of family life. Don't be surprised. There will be betrayal, there'll be rebellion, murder, hatred, even in the family. Don't be surprised, that's what Jesus says. But I would like to use the words of Paul to say this, that you need to stand firm to the end. And Paul encourages in Colossians 1, verses 11, I call it the 1-1-1 theology. to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. It's not just enduring and being patient, it is enduring and being patient with joy. Okay, last figure. So this is joy. This is also from inside out. So fear is also inside out, but joy is also in inside out. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When you have to endure hardship or endure betrayal or heartaches or heartbreaks, all right? You endure it with joy because the joy of the Lord is your strength. How do you do that? Go deeper into your faith. It is hard. I never ever tell anybody in my counseling days to be joyful when they are having hardship. I think I come across as being unempathetic if I do that. But in preaching, I can say that. Why? Because it's in the Bible. The Bible says we must endure and be patient with joy because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're going to focus on a problem and on the betrayal and the heartache, you're going to get worse and worse and worse. But if you have the joy of the Lord and only you can go and ask God for that joy to suffer, or the joy when you are enduring, then that joy can be granted to you. Just now we sang the song. What? Joy unspeakable. Faith unsinkable. Love unstoppable. Anything is possible. It is only a Christian response that we can have joy when you are tested. The world says if you are tested, you are gone. You are tested, you are doomed. You are in gloom. But the Christian response is when you are tested, you can still have joy. And that's why when Paul was in prison, and when he was in prison, it wasn't just a prison that is easy. We went to look at the prison cell. It's very small, and they were in shackles, you know, and he couldn't possibly move his whole body. It's a tough thing. And in that space, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. How do you do that? How does Paul do that? Because he went deep into his faith. And the Lord of faith came and give him the strength and the ability to believe that God is going to lead him out of that prison cell, which he did. The angels came to set him free. Don't follow your feelings. Follow Jesus' instruction to stand firm to the end. If you're going through difficult family time, stand firm to the end. Endure, 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 but with joy. Amen. And then there is one phrase there, which is really a big phrase there in Mark 13. And that's this phrase, the abomination of desolation, past and future. The abomination of desolation. It's like when you see the abomination of desolation, like the fig leaves, you know that summer is coming, you know the end is coming. And so the abomination of desolation will come and test our faith. And Jesus actually in Mark 13 says, when the abomination of desolation hit you, Christians in Judea need to flee to the mountains, take nothing with them. He even warned pregnant women and nursing mothers. He said, it will be very, very distressing for you, and especially in winter. And Jesus also warned during that time, false prophets and false messiahs will appear and perform signs and wonders. Now, when Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation, the disciples would understand. You know why? Because the abomination of desolation happened once in the time of Daniel. So they are very good disciples. They know how to read scriptures. They would have understood that it happened during the time of Daniel. It is a time, it was a time where this abomination was being committed. Abomination means it's something that really defies God, something that corrupts God, something that makes God totally defiled. What the Greeks did in the temple during that time of Daniel was they put their own god Zeus onto the altar, then they killed a pig and sacrificed it on the altar. That is totally shameless and totally unholy and especially disrespectful to the Jews, because the Jews regarded the pig as a defiled animal. That was a period of the abomination of desolation. And then the second time it happened before AD 70. Today, a bit of history lesson. Huh? Are you history students? Are you guys history students? No. How many of you are history students like me? It was repeated in AD 70 when the Romans also put their idols in the temple. Remember, AD 70, the Romans took over the temple. They brought the temple down. But before that, they actually put their idols in the temple. And during that time, they took the instructions of Jesus. The Christians took the instructions of Jesus and they actually got out of the city. Now, this is recorded by the Bible scholar. They actually fled to a place called Pella. And thousands of Christians were saved during that time when Jerusalem fell to the Romans in AD 70. And the event didn't happen in winter. So someone said the Christians must have prayed so that the date was averted or the winter season was not around at that time when they were having this abomination of desolation. It was not in winter, so the nursing mothers and the pregnant women could actually escape the place a little bit better. Some Jews were disbelieving of course, of the words of Jesus, and they came instead to Jerusalem for safety. They thought if they come back to Jerusalem, they can hide from the persecution and from all the conflict. They thought they'll be safe, but actually 97,000 Jews were taken as prisoners by the Romans. And 1.1 million Jews were actually killed by the sword and were starved to death. Abomination of desolation is so desolating. In fact, it was recorded by this scholar that many of them during the time of starvation ate shoes, ate dung, ate things from the sewerage just to be able to survive during that time. And what we are saying here is the abomination of desolation foreshadows the coming of the great tribulation. But this is good news. All right, this is good news. The good news is this. When the great tribulation comes, or when this sort of events happen, Bible tells us God will shorten those days. You read your Bible in Mark 13. God will shorten those days for whose sake? For the elect's sake. That means because there is the presence of Christians in this world, the Lord Jesus will be merciful. He will shorten the days of the tribulation. This is good news. You survived COVID. Wow. Good news. We can survive because of how the Lord has led us. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken man that is common to mankind. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted or not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. And that when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Just like the Christians, they have a way out to Pella. They were spared. God will provide a way out in the most difficult circumstance. Maybe it is not the great tribulation. Maybe you are going through a tough time. Maybe you are going through a tough time of testing. God will provide a way out for you. He will give you a whole arsenal. I love this word because Deanna prophesied this word and I prophesied over the church. We have got an arsenal of knowledge, of skills, of healthy emotions. There's nothing that you lack. Nothing that you lack. Our good shepherd provides for us. Our responsibility is to see our faith emerging into reality when we are finally united with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a meeting! What a meeting in the sky when the Lord makes His glorious appearance. When there is that hope of that meeting in the sky, the glory of the meeting in the sky, it will override all the pain that we may be going through as we wait for that day to come. It's just like a mother, isn't it, with a baby? All right? So painful, so painful. The minute they see the baby, whoa! All the pain's gone. I'm making it sound so simple. But it's true. All the pain's gone. And maybe we can tell the story of how painful it was, but all the pain's gone. Same thing. When we remember the meeting in the sky, so glorious, all this pain of suffering and all these things that Jesus warned us will soon pass away. Amen? So in the meantime, what do we do? In the last few verses of Mark 13, we are told not to sleep. We are told, don't sleep. We are all put in charge of the house of God. We are in the house of God. We've assigned tasks. We have got a purpose. And we've got a job to do in the house of God. You are put in charge of the house of God. Just do whatever God has assigned you. Watch, be on guard, be alert, don't sleep. And I entitled the third point is to watch and work. Don't watch and get nervous. Don't watch and freeze. Don't watch and fight all the things that are happening. Don't. Watch and work. Don't sleep, the Bible tells us. So I check the dictionary. I try to give everything to you. Don't sleep on your job. Is don't slack. Don't slack. Don't work less. Work hard. Work hard. Don't be afraid of hard work. My mom used to tell me, don't be afraid of hard work. Don't be afraid of hard work in the house of God. Don't be afraid of hard work in your own home. Don't be afraid of hard work. Because when you work hard, within healthy limits, of course, don't burn out, of course. When you work hard, you actually enjoy life better. Because your abilities and the role of the job matches, and you work hard, you feel the zest of life. The Bible tells us, don't sleep, work hard. If you play the guitar hard. When you sing, sing hard. And in fact, what Lynn said this morning, give Jesus your all. Don't slack. Don't let the last days, what is going to happen, temper with our spirit. In fact, have a different attitude. Have a different spirit. Walk by faith. Give Jesus your all. Another meaning of don't sleep is don't shirk responsibility. We shirk responsibility because sometimes we think we are not good enough for the job. Or sometimes we think people are not good enough for us to serve. Or sometimes we think the world doesn't deserve us. So we shirk those responsibilities. Don't shirk. Be the best version of yourself when God assigns you the job. If you are a song leader, be the best song leader. If you are a mother, be the best mom. If you are a grandfather, be the best grandfather. The Lord gives you the strength to do it. Because when we shirk responsibility, when we sleep, that is when we live a diminished life, a life that is not maximizing the faith of God in us. Amen? And the other meaning of don't sleep is not paying attention to the things that we should be doing. Some of us, when we do something, our minds are very far away. Don't space out. Don't space out. Don't sleep. Don't space out. If God gives you something to do, do it with the greatest attention. In fact, I would say don't get too busy doing things that don't matter. Do fewer things, but do those fewer things well. I believe God speaks to us all the time. I wonder what is God speaking to you at this time of your life. Pay attention to what is God telling you, and then do what God is telling you. Amen. Amen. Watch and very good. Watch and work. Don't slack. Don't shirk. Don't space out. Amen. Amen. Our faith has depth. This is a phrase that was used by Pastor Aaron. I really like it, and I've been meditating on it. Your faith has depth, and it will go deeper when you are tested. And Jesus gives us those testing times. Tell us in detail those testing times. Don't worry about them. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Do not worry beforehand. Endure, stand firm. Your faith will go deeper when you are tested. You know, faith is like popping corn. It is small to start. Have you ever popcorn? We have got one popcorn machine at home because we used to just let our grandson play with it. It is very small to start. When the heat is on, very slow to start, very small to start. One pop, pop, pop. One popcorn at a time, but it will grow surprisingly quick when under pressure. When you're under pressure, whoa, all the popcorn, or the heat is on, all the popcorn will come. Same thing, when the heat is on, when the pressure is on, when testing times come, our faith will be like the popcorn that will pop very quick. So if you want a deeper faith, don't ask for a smooth life. Accept whatever your life is and be ready to help other people with challenges as well, because when you help other people with challenges, guess what? Your faith grows. If we only stay at home and do our own thing and just be satisfied just doing our own thing, then you won't grow, right? You won't grow in your faith. But when we stand with other people in challenge, or if God gives you something bigger than yourself, this is, oh God, why are you giving me so difficult a thing? Well, when God gives you something bigger, that means God wants to stretch your faith. God wants to deepen your faith. God believes in you. God knows that there is a whole arsenal of tools and talents and virtues and values in you that God wants to develop. God believes in you. And so when God does that for you, say, oh Lord, I don't understand, but thank you. Thank you that you trust me so much. You want to give me something that will help me develop my faith. So how do you deepen your faith? Three things. When the heat is on, know what is real. Don't follow your feelings, follow your faith. And last of all, watch and work. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Who can know the joy of going through difficult times? Oh, no one can. Only you can, oh Lord. And you have given that joy to us when we learn how to endure, when we know how to persevere. You give us the joy. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, and hope, dear Lord, that is unstoppable. Wow, Lord, only you can do that. I just pray the Lord, you will give a glimpse of that revelation knowledge to your people. Help us to be a people that believe you and a people who will know how to stay focused on you and know how to draw strength from you, O God, and even know how to experience joy and express joy when we go through tough times. Dear Lord, we thank you for your principle in life. And when there is no test, there is no testimony. In the world, we will have many problems. But Lord, we know you are with us. And you give us stories after stories in our book of life that will testify that our God is a faithful God. So Father, I pray you help the church. You help your people, dear Lord, to be wise, not to be taken in by the fakes, but to be wise to know what is real and to really watch the world events and to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be good followers of Jesus that will know how to increase in our faith, deepen in our faith, and not to be guided by only our feelings. Oh Lord, only you can do that. I pray you do a deep work in your people and in the church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got a lovely song, I'm sure.
Thank you, Pastor Kara, for the word. I just felt that wanted to give us an opportunity to respond to the Lord and to respond to the word. You know, I wonder how many of us here this morning will actually say, "Yes, Lord, I want to go deeper in my faith." You know, and if this is what you want, right? I'll just invite you now to close your eyes. Okay, and no one's looking around, because this is really our time with the Lord. And this is not for any man to watch, anyone to see, any one of us to observe or to judge. And if this is what you want, to go deeper in your faith in the Lord, then I'll just invite you to lift your hands to the Lord, and I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And it's just going to be a simple prayer. But I'd like you to just pray and let it be your prayer and your ask of the Lord. Okay? Say, "Heavenly Father, help me to go deeper in my faith. Help me to know Jesus in a new way. Help me to experience Jesus in a new way. Help me to have an appetite for your word, to read your word daily, to nourish my soul with your words each day. Help me to see the wonderful things that you have for me through your word. And let your word be inscribed upon the tablet of my heart. Help me, Lord, each day to pray. to pray unceasingly, to pray fervently, to pray and spend time with you. Let me never shirk from this precious time of prayer. But that each day I will give this time to you, Lord. Lord, help us to act upon your word. That whatever you tell us to do, that we will do. Give us the grace, give us the strength to do all that you have commanded us to do. Give us the faith, Lord, and the courage to obey. Take us deeper, Lord, and take us further by your Spirit into deeper waters. We thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Would you lift your hands now for the benediction? May our God enable you to live a life that's worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and that you will be honored along with Him, according to the grace of our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, everyone, have a blessed week. Join us for a time of fellowship. Remember, we have to know what is real. Remember to follow faith, not feelings, and to watch and work. All right, God bless. Next week, we'll be doing Mark 14.